This is Cliffo and Gabby's Catch Up.
Thank you for downloading the Catch Up, everyone. To everyone who has been listening to the Catch Up over the last week or so, can I just put it out there?
What?
Gabrielle does not have COVID. She has been tested. You're fine.
I sound very husky though, don't I?
But you just have that thing where like a week and a half ago you were lingers. Sick. And it just lingers and lingers and lingers. And because you use your voice.
Yeah, it's not recovering.
For a living, it just doesn't recover.
I have been told though that I should have my voice like this all the time because it's a bit sexy.
Who told you that? And are they deaf?
It was my partner. He's like, you're always hot to me, babe.
Nev, we need to get those ears tested, bro.
He's also sick, which means he has limited hearing.
Oh, God.
So
your house is real sexy at the moment.
Yeah, it's hot.
Just a
Valentine's Day was good.
Flemmy love fest. Married at First Sight. It began season 7 or 8?
Eight.
Eight.
Eight. We're already at 8. I think I want to marry you.
Quite shocking, though, and if you're thinking of going on Married at First Sight to find true love, maybe think again, because it has been revealed that out of 8 seasons of Married at First Sight, or 59 Aussie Maths couples, not 59 individuals, there have been 59 Married at First Sight Australia couples, and out of 59, there is only 3 that are still together. Now they are.
Because that's what we got on maths for, isn't it? For love.
For true love, yeah.
Yeah.
The experts.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
really need to rework that title there, guys.
They're really doing their job well.
So it's Martha and Michael and Jules and Cam.
Yep.
From Series 6.
They've had a baby,
yep. And Erin and Bryce.
Yeah, they were from like one of the first seasons.
Season 2. Don't even remember. I think that's when it was actually about love.
Yeah, and they
it quickly
didn't
quickly became about drama.
They definitely did not try to get the public's attention after the season.
No.
Like they went back into their own lives and their own love and continued on secretly.
And they've lived in, you know,
bliss.
Obscure bliss. Obscurity for the last however many years. I've actually done the maths this morning. I've pulled the calculator out. And if 3 couples out of 59 are still together in Married at First Sight history in this country, that means if you go on Married at First Sight to find your true love, you have a 2.54% success rate. So you have a 2.5% chance of finding the love of your life.
So there's a 2.5% chance of any of the couples on season 8 that started last night
being together
in a year's time.
Now, I've actually gone through, to put that into perspective, I've gone through and found a whole list of things that you are more likely to do / achieve than find true love on Married at First Sight.
Okay.
For example, you are more likely to have twins.
Wow.
Than you are to find true love on Married at First Sight. There's a 3% chance of having twins.
There you go.
Only 2.54% chance of finding love on maths. You are more likely to live to the age of 100.
Really?
Than find love.
Because that's quite rare.
You are more likely, particularly in regional Queensland, to get your car stolen than to be on maths.
That's an obvious one.
This is a morbid one. You are more likely to die on your birthday than be on maths and find true love, because you'd think the chances of dying on your birthday is 1 in 365, but it's actually it's about 6%. It's a lot higher because we're very active on our birthdays.
Oh,
we're out and about doing things,
and we get presents like skydiving and stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
You are more likely to be named Robert or Mary.
My dad's name is Robert.
Than find true love on maths, and the one I like. So 2.54% success rate finding true love on maths. You are more likely to get into Harvard University than you are. 3% of applicants get into Harvard, which is more than the 2.5% that finds true love on maths.
No one from maths is getting into Harvard.
That's exactly where my mind went as well. Australia's favourite game show, The Chase Australia.
Big fan.
Oh, yeah. I
love it.
I don't know. I'm usually bathing kids and stuff like that. So we'll have something on in the background.
My nana is obsessed and she's dragged my dad into being obsessed. So now it's what dad and I love to chat about.
I will say whether it's that one or the UK one, because they play that as well.
They're both great.
And it's often like, you know.
Same people that are being the chaser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The beast and these people who are supposed to be scary.
Yeah.
But it's got a new host because Andrew O'Keefe has had, some personal troubles that's been very well documented. But celebrating the new host, Larry Emder was named as host of The Chase Australia. Christ.
Yeah, he's never taken his shirt off.
Yeah, maybe take it off, Larry, because he's got a
six-pack.
You get more viewers for The Chase. And he's got muscly biceps. Like, he's a fit 50-year-old now.
Yep.
And the photos have been shared big time. One woman shared the photos of Larry, and this woman just wrote Larry Emder, more like Daddy Emder.
Oh, wow. And that's a bit cheeky.
The other one was Larry Emder, Dad Hot. So, is that a thing?
Definitely.
Dad
Hot, definitely.
Oh, see, I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, I think dad it's hot. Like, you know, there's Chris Hemsworth is just hot, even though he's a dad, but he's just hot. But then you see someone who could potentially be your dad, or you see someone with kids and they're so attractive because they're such a good dad that equals dad hot.
All right. So who for you is dad hot? Like,
well,
other than Larry
Emder?
It's
a recent one for me, but I recently saw photos of Carl Stefanovic with his new baby. And I'm like, oh my God, Carl. Hello.
See, that's a weird one.
Oh, I know. It was so unexpected for me to get these feelings.
Is it?
But I saw the pic and I was like, yes.
Well, there's a bit of risk when you're with Carl too.
Bit cheeky.
Because he's a bit of a loose, you know.
He is a bit. There's a bit.
Brooke, is there?
It's a bit naughty.
Is there someone for you, Brooke?
Oh, it's got to be Eric Banner.
Eric Banner. That's a good one.
Dad hot.
He's so dad hot. Yeah.
Dad hot in the dry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he gets all serious and broody. Mm.
131060, give us a call. If this is your bag, if this is what you're into.
Who's dad hot?
Who's dad hot? We don't want Chris Hemsworth.
We don't want hot
hot. We don't want hot hot.
We don't want stereotypical blockbuster hot.
We want dad hot.
We've
got that friend who told us, I won't throw her under the bus. Remember that woman who told us that she thought Koshy's hot?
That was weird.
That was a weird one.
Yeah. No judgment though. Like, if you think Koshy's dad hot, then give us a call.
You always say James Corden's hot too.
Yeah,
that's
but a weird
I just
one. Think he's funny hot. He's not dad hot.
131060.
There's different kinds of hot.
Give us a call. Who is dad hot?
Yes.
Queensland. They're not hot hot. They're not funny hot. They are dad hot.
They're dad
for
hot.
Anyone dad hot? On 131060, Jackie's here. There's your song, Jackie. 131060, Jackie. Who's dad hot?
Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
Deadpool guy.
Oh, yeah.
You don't reckon he's just hot? Like, he's just a hot human?
No. He's everything.
He's dad hot, he's hot, he's funny hot, he's all the hots.
Oh, yeah.
See, he could be, he definitely
he's in
could
all categories.
Be funny hot as well, couldn't he?
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, he's on the dad hot list. Jackie.
Along with five others.
Along with Eric Banner, Carl Stefanovic, and the daddy of all.
The daddy of Australia.
Larry Emder. Mm. Thanks, Jackie.
Bye.
All right. We'll go to Jody. Who do you reckon is dad hot, Jody?
I think my husband is dad hot.
Oh, that's nice.
Sitting next to you with a gun to your head right now?
Actually, no. If he knew I was on the radio, he'd probably kill me. But anyway.
What makes him dad hot? Is it because he's a good dad that you find it really attractive, or is he sexy?
It's like that. He's gorgeous. He's Scottish. Ooh. He looks hot in a kilt. So, you know, that's all you need.
That's all you need.
Just walks on in with the kilt.
Looks hot in a kilt.
Hello, Jody. I'm here. Feel free to rip the kilt off. Alpha Bucks. We're Gabby with an Alpha Bucks clue for your Wednesday.
Very Mardi Gras, isn't it?
Yes.
It's
yes.
Glitter.
Glitter.
Glitter is your
clue.
Answer.
Glitter. Remember glitter. It will get you one answer closer to $1,000 cash in the morning at here.
We've now narrowed it down to our two finalists for our Mardi Gras reporter. They'll be sent to Mardi Gras in Sydney, flights and accommodation included, to check out the parade. And one of our finalists is Dylan, also known as Delicious when in drag. He joins us right now. How you going, Dylan?
Hey, how are you?
Good. Full drag name, Delicious Sweets.
Yes.
Got to get the full name out there.
Yeah, with a Z on the end too.
Sweets. okay, so, well, we want to get into Delicious very, very soon. But firstly, let's talk about your entry for Mardi Gras Reporter. You say you're a strong supporter of the LGBT IQ Plus community.
Yep.
How did that begin for you? How did you become a supporter?
Well, I've always been a strong supporter. It was a very hard process coming out. I did it on Facebook and my mum messaged me. She's like, I love you for that, Dylan. Good on you. But your nan has Facebook. I was like, oh, no. So I drove home real quick and told nan. And yeah, it was a bit of an upsetting time being an older Christian religious woman. There was words said, but we won't delve into that. Starting Glamour was such a massive thing for one of my best friends, Hayden Matchkey, also known as Anna B, to start a safe place for the LGBTQIA plus community that we have here in Toowoomba.
So what's Glamour?
Glamour is our monthly drag show at the Cube Hotel, where we obviously put on a show, we have fun, and we provide that safe place for the audience to be exactly who they are and what they want to be and just be themselves and have fun and making people smile as the entertainment of the night.
I think it's so good that you have created this. So are there many other drag queens in Toowoomba who get involved and get up on stage? And is it growing?
We have so many, and we get all these new queens, which we call baby queens, messaging us going, hey, can we do a show? And we're like, yeah, sure, come on in. Like, Glamour's an open, safe space. Feel free to do whatever you want to do. I could probably rattle off about 10, maybe 15 queens.
Wow.
I absolutely love that, and I applaud you for it, Dylan. But I did want to ask, because Toowoomba was one of the only areas in all of Queensland that voted no during the gay marriage plebiscite.
52 versus 48. We know it well.
It was very disappointing to see that. How, like, it was such a horrible time for the yes and no camp to be, you know, spewing messages trying to, you know, win over that vote. And it could have been really hard for a lot of that community in Toowoomba. How did you go through that?
At the end of the day, we can hold our head high because the majority of the voters did vote yes. So in the end, we got what we wanted. Yeah. Yes, it is a bit sad, but at the same time, it's a growing community. And that's what upsets me, is that people have to hide who they are because of other people.
Yeah.
And that's why we have Glamour, is to be exactly who you want to be and do what you want to do and have fun doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We are with Dylan, a.k.a. Delicious Sweet.
Doing amazing things.
He's one of our top two finalists for Cliffo and Gabby's Mardi Gras Reporter. Woo-hoo! We do have three questions before we let you go quickly that we want to ask you.
Yes.
And we're going to ask these to Deb, our other finalist tomorrow.
And this will be the deciding questions.
These are the deciding questions.
Now
right?
I'm nervous.
And everyone has to listen up, because Queensland decides who wins.
Exactly. So first question for you, Dylan. Yep. This is a very important one. How would you represent Cliffo and Gabby, so us, at Mardi Gras?
I will be all about you guys. I did that in my video that I sent through to Hit Queensland Breakfast.
Yeah.
I would be happy to wear a Hit shirt if you want me to wear one of them. I'm ready to go in full drag. I'll have a nice little skirt to have on. But no, you guys will definitely be the main focus, because you are the reason I would be there.
Okay.
All right.
Some good answers there.
Good one.
I mean, you've answered a bit of question number two there, but let's go into more detail. Question number two, what would you wear?
This is super important.
Oh, what would you wear?
See, over the weekend, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get ready, because drag queens are never ready. They're always a little bit late. So I went through my whole outfit. I went through 15 pairs of shoes. I went through 12 wigs. I went through over 50 costumes, and I was like, what do I want to wear? What am I going to do? I want to look great, because I'm representing not only Hit FM, but like the communities around us and everything like that. So I would be fabulous, sparkly, rainbow, big hair.
Okay.
All the extra. That's all.
Absolutely. Yes,
Make
queen.
Sure it's all extra. Yes, queen. And finally, why is Mardi Gras so important to you?
Mardi Gras is a way of expressing exactly who we are and just celebrate that we shouldn't have to hide ourselves. And it's not just for the LGBTQIA+. It's straight people as well, supporting people in their communities. Mardi Gras is such a passionate thing that I've always watched and always loved to do, but I couldn't for financial reasons or prior commitments. But just know that Mardi Gras is one of those safe places that we call home, and we can express exactly who we are by being ourselves.
You got a good heart, Dylan. It's really great to get to know you and chat to you.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Dylan, a.k.a. Delicious Sweets.
Yes, queen.
Yes, queen.
You are one of our finalists.
For Cliff Love Owen, Gabby's Mardi Gras reporter, like I said, we'll get to know Deb tomorrow and get ready to vote at hit.com.au. But right now, Dylan, delicious. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you guys for having me. Mwah. Good luck, Deb.
We'll often tell a story, put a situation out there or whatever, and we'll say 131060. Give us a call and comment on it. I want to do it the other way around this morning. So I'm going to say 131060. That's
call
our phone number. Call now. Just call now. And I'll, in a sec, I'll tell you what it's about. But, well, the headline is pram parking.
What are the rules?
If you're a person who uses pram parking for little kids at the shops or whatever, or you've ever used it in the past.
Or you just across the rules for it.
If, yeah, 131060, if you've got an opinion on the rules for pram parking. For starters, I just need someone who has used or regularly uses pram parking. So 131060, call us if this is you. And the reason I bring it up is it's caused a bit of an issue amongst Mr. and Mrs. Clifton the last few shopping trips.
Right.
So I have a 18-month-old son. He turns 2 in April, so he's a little bit older than 18 months.
That's not far away, actually.
He's only just started walking. He's very much been a late bloomer.
Can't believe he's almost 2.
I know. Tell me about it, right? And I still often park in the pram parking, even though he sits up in a trolley now.
So you're not using a pram in the pram parking, is what you're saying?
Pretty much. I'm using a trolley. And I know this is an issue for my wife.
Right.
We've had discussions in the past about her backseat driving. So she won't actually say anything now. But when I pull into a vacant pram park, she'll just do this. Just a little huffy kind of.
And you know exactly what she means by that.
Now, my thing is, yeah, okay, I'm not putting Charlie, our son, in a pram, but I am putting him in a vessel that is still going to carry him. So I do not see the issue of us parking in a pram park because we still have a baby.
That's in a wheeled vessel. Yeah. I don't know, because I feel like everyone uses a trolley. And so pram parking has to be special. It has to be only for the people with a pram. Because I use a trolley.
Well, it is special. But you don't put a baby in it.
But it's not kids parking. It's pram parking. It's not parents with kids in tow.
Well, a trolley.
It's just for a pram.
A trolley has wheels on it and you put a kid in it.
But I use a pram.
It's just a trolley. It's a steel pram.
I'm getting confused.
131060.
There has to be distinct rules here.
Okay, Emma.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Morning, Emma. So the pram parking debate, can you use pram parking with a trolley?
Yes. I reckon that all parents should be able to use pram parking. Should really just be parent parking instead of pram parking.
Up to what age?
And that'll eliminate your issue, Gabs.
Up to what age of kids?
Any age. It's safer. Usually pram parking's closer to the door.
Yeah. So if I go shopping with my mum, I'm technically a kid. We can use the parking.
As long as you sit in the top of the trolley.
Great.
Gary, where do you sit on the pram parking with a trolley thing, mate? Is it okay?
Yeah, it's okay. I'm a father of 2. I call it the daddy parking, and my wife isn't happy I park there either.
It's a wife thing, mate. Does your wife just outright say you're not supposed to park here, or does she do a passive-aggressive... Like my wife?
I don't know. It's really her excuse of it. I'm not game enough to ask.
Just don't want to get into it.
We'll take one more on the subject. Michael, final word to you, Michael. The pram parking debate, mate. Where do you sit on it?
I don't see any problem at all. There's no other car parks anywhere, and you've got a park somewhere.
Oh, no, see that? Yeah, there was plenty of other
There's
car
plenty
parks,
other parks. Right? That's not the parks. Issue here.
It's just closer to the door. Amy Shark, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Welcome.
So good to have you on again, Amy. I have to ask how the song was written, because it was obviously co-written by Ed Sheeran, and you can hear that in it, a lot of talk about it. And it features Keith Urban. Now, I've seen photos of you and Ed writing it together, but COVID was a thing and you were here last year and he was there. So how did it come about, this collab?
Well, it was actually, I mean, it sounds like a huge mission when you put those two names into a song, but it actually came together quite easy. I'll throw another name in the mix here, and that's Russell Crowe. He sent Ed Sheeran my album. He sent him Love Monster, and he really liked it. So he sort of invited me, like, next time I was in the UK, to come and do some songwriting with him. So I definitely took that offer and ran with it. So yeah, I had a whole day in the studio with him, and we came out with this song. And I still don't know how. I mean, I do. He's Ed Sheeran, and he's the best songwriter in the world. So he, you know, he has a way of drawing out the artistry and the stories and the topics very quickly. Got it sounding really good. Sent it to Keith. Said I'd really love you to add some flavor to this. If you could sing on it and maybe add some guitar, some sort of country vibe to it, I think it would really work and be kind of random for me, but also really cool. So that just came about really, really easily, but I guess.
To circle back to your first point, if it wasn't for Russell Crowe, the Gladiator, the song probs wouldn't be a thing.
This is true.
Thank you, Rusty. Wow. You owe him a schooner.
I do. I owe him a lot. Yeah, I know. He reminds me of that all the time.
Oh, my God. Just name dropping left, right and centre. Back to the song. So you did say to Ed Sheeran that you and your man don't do love songs. They're not for you. And that's why you came up with the title and the song as it is. So it's Love Songs Ain't For Us. But to me, it seems still very lovey. Like the first lyrics are caught in the moment, midnight in the room, my breath and heart got taken by you. Still pretty love songy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of it, I guess, is like, I mean, Ed's very similar as well. We're not like showy people. We're not like corny or anything like that when it comes to our relationships and, you know, like that sort of PDA style love. Yeah. And but I'm all about the realness of it, you know, like, and I love the whole butterflies and feeling insecure, and that's a really special moment. But I think for me, it's like when I can finally be myself around someone and you can just kind of eat a burrito together and spill it everywhere. And it's like, that's like real love, you know?
That is so real love.
That's the best.
We have to admit though, because we heard the song title before we heard the song.
Yep.
So the song title is Love Songs Ain't For Us. And Gabby and I knew we were going to chat to you. So we started brainstorming
anti-love
songs in a way, because we thought maybe it's an anti-love song. And I know you're a real muso, like you obviously you love music. So we thought we'd tell you some of the anti-love songs that we came up with.
Awesome.
So do you remember Ugly Kid Joe?
Yeah.
They had a song called Everything About You, this one. That was the style we were thinking, like that. Or Khalees was one that Gabby threw into the mix.
Oh my God, I missed that song.
Yes. So good. And the other one that came up because we Googled it was Alanis Morissette, who was very angsty.
I mean, that's the anthem for females around the world.
Right? You ought to know.
That's what we're expecting from you with Love Songs Ain't For Us. And then we got this gorgeous, beautiful song that is so reminiscent of you and Ed Sheeran on it. And I love it, but it was not what we were expecting, Amy.
This is why I do what I do. I can't, you know, I don't like making people feel comfortable and knowing what to expect ever.
Throwing curveballs.
Maybe a song full of hatred in the next album. We
but
don't know.
Label it, I love you, or something.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We love the new single. It's called Love Songs Ain't For Us. Cry Forever, the national tour as well. That's commencing this June. Tickets available now to see Amy Shark live at amyshark.com.au. Amy, fellow Queenslander, we love having you on. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your support, guys. The Hit Breakfast Show.